Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Thank you, Jerry. You may be seated.
There's a very critical word. Just a little feedback, Dan. I don't know, maybe. Very critical word in this passage, and it is the word signs. These are the signs of the appearance of the Son of Man in the clouds. Now, signs are important, right? We have signs for all kinds of things. Certainly, signs when we're driving in our cars and going in different directions. And Connie sometimes makes fun of me, or actually she sometimes trusts me, because I say we're going to have to drive by my nose. There's no signs, and I'm going to just drive where I think is right. But it's nice to have signs. But we also have signs in the heavens. We have signs in our atmosphere. We have signs when it comes to a garden or things that we've planted. We know if there's a funnel cloud just forming over Ewing and it's headed for Hamilton, we have a good idea that that funnel cloud is dark and the wind's kicking up and there's going to be problems. We have signs that when we plant a tree, a fruit tree, and the buds begin to blossom, and then soon the small aspects of the fruit begin to form. It's in this context Jesus is using the word signs, that something amazing is about ready to take place as a direct tie with the appearance of the Son of Man. Luke 21, 25 through 28 tells us and speaks to us about the signs of Jesus' coming. The coming of the Son of Man. The Son of Man here is Jesus. He is the Messiah. And this passage provides us with some of those signs. You could read Matthew 24. You could read through the other aspects of the New Testament, and I will mention a couple of those. But as we get into this subject, let's lay this solid foundation that Jesus is coming back to earth. And there will be signs telling us that that event is about ready to happen. His return is a biblical fact. So I'm not here to say that it's just an allegory and Jesus is coming, and anything in Scripture that alludes to that or appears to talk about that is, well, it's just goodness is coming, you know? No. Jesus will come. He will return. Acts, when the disciples were watching him descend, the angels, or ascend to heaven, the angels said, "Why are you standing there?" Because he is going to come again. He's going to appear in the clouds. Every eye is going to see him. 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes and talks about his appearance, his return, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. It's all about the return of Jesus. The Lord will come again. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 is a great passage to read when you get a few moments. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, "For the Lord will come again." My purpose this morning is not to just speak about that fact. That will happen. I'm concerned today about some of the signs. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Well, there are some signs. Let's suppose that you go home today and you turn on the TV and there's one of those crazy sounds come across your TV, or a message comes on your smartphone and there is a warning. Get ready. There is a funnel cloud over Ewing and it's headed for Hamilton or wherever you live. Get ready. It is coming. Would you get ready? Most of us probably would. Well, there are some signs about Christ's return, and in no way do I want to suggest that this is exhaustive. Some great books, some great stuff. Certainly you have to be careful when you get into this subject. Those of you that have heard me preach and teach and share over the years know that I believe very emphatically that Jesus will come again. I also believe that that moment of what we refer to as the rapture, Christians being caught up in the air, will come after what Daniel refers to as 7 years of tribulation, what Jesus refers to in Matthew 24 as a great tribulation moment. I believe that that tribulation will come first, and then the rapture with the return of Christ will happen after that. This will happen after the appearance of Antichrist on the planet. Now that said, I want to look at two key areas of signs that we find here in Luke chapter 21. The two basic groups about the signs. What we're going to look at is the signs that Luke gives to us, and then what should our response be as followers of Jesus Christ. There's two categories of signs here. First, heavenly signs. There will be signs, and listen to Luke's writing, signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. Everybody's aware of what sun, moon, and stars are? Okay, everybody knows what that is. We don't have to explain that, right? That's really basic. That's, I don't know what grade, third grade geography, if they do geography or studying science or space. But Luke says, and he's speaking to his disciples who have come to him and ask about the temple. The temple's going to be destroyed, Jesus says. But they also want to know about the end of the age and the return of Jesus, his appearance. And he says that the temple's going to be destroyed, and then certain things are going to happen. And then he puts in this powerful, I think, very clear statement. The appearance of the Son of Man in the clouds. But at that time, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. There will be physical, cataclysmic events taking place as signs close to the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 26 of Luke 21 says, "For the heavenly bodies will be shaken." Now, you could possibly speculate on that or read what you might want to into that. I think we have to be careful there. But the heavenly bodies, sun, moon, stars, how many stars are there? Yea, billions of stars. Sun, one sun for our solar system, one moon for planet Earth. And stars are going to be shaken. Now, I am not here in any way to try to suggest how that's going to happen scientifically. But I'll tell you how it's going to happen. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. And he has a reason for that. And he's like saying, hey, everybody, get ready. The sign of the Son of Man appearing in the clouds is getting ready to take place. And there are going to be these cataclysmic events that are going to happen first. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give off its light. That's obvious, right? If there's no sun giving light, the moon reflects the light of the sun. So it's going to not give off its light. Stars will fall. That doesn't sound too drastic, you know. Stars falling, we see shooting stars, but this is nothing like the world has ever seen. The heavens will be shaken. If you were to parallel this with Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, That verse says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and they will see the Son of Man coming. Parallels with Luke 21, the signs, the sun, moon, and the stars, same language, but Matthew writing it from his perspective as compared to Luke, the words of Jesus, at that time. Notice that phrase, at that time. The signs, the sun, moon, and the stars, and the planets being shaken, the Son of Man, Jesus, will appear in the sky, and every eye will see the Son of Man coming at the time of the cataclysmic events around planet Earth. Those are just some of the heavenly things that are going to take place. And again, this is a very elaborate subject when you look at Matthew and Paul's writings in the epistles. Things are going to happen in Jerusalem, and things happen in the Mideast, things that are going to happen with the church and the body of Christ and with persecution. And you read Revelations about Christians being beheaded, followers of Jesus that are beheaded, the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, and all those things are going to be entwined within all of this. But what's going to really get people's attention as a sign is when the sun, moon, and the stars are beginning to be shaken by God. Now that's heavenly. Paint that any way you want in your mind, but something's going to happen. Now, without speculating too far, if the sun is darkened and the moon does not give off its light and the stars begin to fall and are shaken in their orbits or wherever they are, there's certainly going to be events and things and results and consequences on the planet Earth. Now, the minute I say this next phrase, your mind is going to have a tendency to run, and I don't want it to do that, but I'm going to mention it anyway. I believe in climate change, but climate change is affected by God. Okay? Can I qualify that? I'm not so much concerned about climate change caused by CO2. Okay? It's probably an element of truth there. But when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give off its light and the stars are shaken, there's going to be changes in our climate that are going to get people's attention. Now, that's from the heavenly realm. Now, there's other signs that Jesus mentions here that we could categorize as earthly signs. Earthly signs. Not only in the heavens, but things that are happening right on earth. There's a very powerful one that so often gets lost in the shuffle when we talk about the signs of the return of Christ. Listen to what Luke says. Verse 25. Nations will be in anguish and perplexed at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Now let that one grab you for a moment. Nations will be in anguish and perplexed at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Obviously, something's going on in the heavens. That's going to affect the planet Earth. It's going to affect the seas. I think probably a fifth grade science kid could tell you that if you affect the sun, the moon, and the stars, that's going to affect the tides. Somehow there's some type of roaring of the seas, but what I want us to note is that that affects the nations. The nations will be in anguish and perplexed by it. Now that catches my eye. People and nations will be in distress. There will be anxiety. There will be perplexity at all these cataclysmic events that are taking place in the heavenly realm. And that is affecting the sea or the seas. And they can't understand it. Scientists and experts will have no answer. They're perplexed. They can't figure this out. And they will be perplexed over what this is doing and what is happening and what is the reason for it. They can't control it. They can't figure it out. They cannot give an answer for it. And the answer is very simple. Even though modern technology may be stumped, the answer is very simple. God's doing it. God's doing it to say, inhabitants of the planet Earth, wake up. Wake up. The sign of the Son of Man in the clouds, the Son of Man is coming again. Verse 26 says, men will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world. Men will faint. They can't bear what's coming. There's going to be this great anguish on the planet Earth among mankind. Individuals will faint. They will not be able to stand in the face of what's happening because there's no explanation. None of the leading scientists, none of the leading geologists or astronomers can explain it. And men will faint, physically faint, or they'll be faint-hearted, they'll be weak, they can't deal with it, they're frustrated, they're anxious, and that leads to all kind of consequences. But the heart reason is that men will be in anguish, is that they're going to begin to realize that God is behind it. These are get-ready signs. Because God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. And growing up in that small Alliance church in western Pennsylvania, when a special speaker would come and he'd talk about the coming of Jesus and the return and all the events that are going to unfold, and he'd put up his charts and so forth, and man, as a kid, I used to go, whoa, I don't know if I want that. I'm not ready for that. No, let's go to another subject. You know, let's talk about just having fun and good things. And let's talk about grace. And man, Jesus is coming and I'm not ready. As a kid, I could sit there and think that. I am not ready. God's judgment is coming. And of course, there might be a little bit of a mixture of hellfire and brimstone. But you know what? That never left me. I never forgot that. I may not have agreed with all the guys, and I look back now. Back then as a kid, I didn't think about it. But now as an adult looking back and as a pastor and teacher and theologian, I may not have agreed with all of his little time schedule things, but that's minor. And what stuck with me all these years is that Jesus is coming again. And when I give my life to Jesus Christ when I was 23 years of age, and I begin to study Scripture, I go, whoa, what that guy and those guys that would come to our church would preach, it's true, it's biblical. And I can understand why men would be in anguish and men would be faint-hearted, because God's judgment is coming. See, when we speak about the return of Jesus Christ, and this is a whole separate subject, Jesus is not coming back to go, hi everybody, nice to see you. Are you glad to see me? I'm here. Everything's going to be fine. No, that's not how it goes. That's not biblical. He's coming back to wage war. He's coming with God's judgment. He's coming to bring forth God's wrath. He's coming to deal with everybody that has rejected him, everybody that has turned their back on him, everybody that doesn't want anything to do with him. He's going to deal with that. And as a kid, I knew I wasn't ready. And most of you have heard my story. I ran from God. Matthew 24, the parallel of this, verse 30, says, the nations will mourn because Jesus is coming with judgment. See, the Bible says every eye is going to see Jesus return. Every eye of that generation that's alive at that time will see Jesus return. I can't explain that scientifically. I do know that with satellites and modern technology and smartphones, that is quite possible. But apart from that, somehow God will do it. I ain't worried about that. But he's coming. And every eye is going to see him. And Scripture is very clear that the nations will mourn. Why would the nations mourn at the coming of Jesus? Don't you think it would be a moment of, wow, yippee, great, awesome, come Jesus, come quickly? No, not the nations. Again, you have to read all the context. I'm just hitting the high points. Because the Antichrist is going to be on the scene, and there will be these battles and wars, and nations will rise against nation, and actually, there will be Armageddon and the battles of Gog and Magog, which we're not going into today, that nations will actually rise up under Antichrist's power, thinking that they can actually defeat God. And now Jesus, they see Jesus. And they're going to mourn because they know that Jesus is coming with God's wrath. They're coming with the sword. He's coming with the sword of his word. Matthew 24 also gives us a brief insight into this parallel that it will be like the days of Noah. People will be given in marriage and marrying, and almost like life is going on. But if you really read the Old Testament about the days of Noah, and I'm back, I read through the Bible every, chapter every day. That's my personal devotional time. And I finish Revelations, and now I'm starting in Genesis again, and I'm getting to that point where it's the days of Noah. And I'm just going through after Cain had killed Abel, and men begin to call upon God, and God's word says that there was wickedness all over. And in the days of Noah, there was terrible wickedness. The earth and God, of course, and if you know the story of Noah and the ark, which I believe was real. It wasn't an allegory or some little tale to teach about good and evil. See, I believe that Jesus is coming again. He's coming with God's judgment, like the days of Noah. I have to confess that, I just had this big birthday Tuesday. I really can't believe I'm that old. And going back to my childhood and hearing sermons on the second coming of Jesus and realizing that now here I am as an adult. I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher. And I can remember those guys preaching that the days of on earth would be very much like Noah. And, back then, I'll say about 1955, okay, yeah, I'm really that old, I know. And I'm hearing this guy like me going to be like the days of Noah, And I'm going, yeah, as a kid, it's bad, Okay, there's robberies and there's this and there's wars. But I'm telling you, it's like I don't even want to turn the news on anymore. Is it white? Wycoming or Wyoming County in Pennsylvania last week, 50 opioid deaths. 50 in 1 week. 100 people shot in Chicago over July 4th weekend, 15 dead. I mean, that's just touching the surface. And so I'm going, man, those guys back when I was young preaching about the return of Jesus in the days of Noah, and here I am in 2017, speaking on the same subject, those guys had no idea how bad it was going to get. It's like every year, it can't get any worse. Now, the second part of this, the Christian's response to those signs. How should we respond if we're the generation that's seeing it unfold? Luke says, and these are Jesus' words, very interesting. He says, stand up. Not, you don't have to stand up yet. Later I'll ask you to stand up. But he says, stand up. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the followers of Jesus. He's talking to that generation that's going to see these things unfold. He says, stand up. When you see these things begin to take place, stand up. Now, I don't know about you, but I stand up when I'm getting ready for something. I know that if one of you wanted to come and take me on, you know, in a little battle, and you wanted to fight, you know, I'm just not going to sit there. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to stand up. And as I tell John Flager, you never know, John, I might get a lucky punch in. That could happen. I know John could hurt me if he wanted. I let him think that. But I'm not going to sit there. I'm getting ready. I'm standing up. I'm not going to be complacent. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be lackadaisical. So Christians, as we see these signs begin to unfold, and all the other signs, and we're just touching on a few of them, it is not a time to retreat. It is not a time to go into hibernation, to go into being a recluse, to become a hermit and just forget missions and forget evangelism and forget what we're supposed to be doing and going into the world and making disciples. Jesus says, stand up, get ready. Stand up, get ready. Certainly, it's time to be proud that you're a Christian, and I mean proud in the right sense. No, I'm a Christian. Don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know I'm a follower of Jesus. No, he's saying, stand up. Be ready to deal with whatever. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be persecution. They're going to put you in prison. They're going to spit on you. Revelation actually talks about being beheaded for Jesus. He says, stand up. Don't hide. Don't hide. You know? I'm a Christian. Jesus is coming. I'm not ashamed of that. Then he says a very interesting phrase. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Now, when you lift up your heads, you're really looking for something. And we know this context that Jesus is coming in the clouds. I can't scientifically begin to suggest all that that means. But just as his disciples saw him ascend, he's going to return. So lifting up your heads, you're watching. You're alert. You're seriously anticipating this event's going to take place. You're listening. Not only are you reading your Bible, but you're listening to the news and the events that are taking place in the world. You're up, you're alert, your eyes, you're intense. Something's happening. And Luke says, lift up your heads because your redemption is near. Redemption means your salvation. And that's more than just, hey, Jesus is coming back to take us to heaven. The real context of this, and you plug them all together, the Gospels and the Epistles and Revelation and even Daniel from the Old Testament, you plug them all together, conditions on earth at this time will not be good for followers of Jesus. There will be persecution. And so Luke says, lift up your heads, your redemption's coming, you're going to be saved. It's kind of like a football game, and if you've ever had one team that so dominated another team that it's like, man, this is a slaughter. Now, in Little League and all those kind of things, there's a slaughter rule. They can only win by so many runs. You don't want to embarrass the other team, you know, and just get the game over and get them out of there. So a football game where you've got a professional team beating up on another team, it's so bad, it's like the ref just stepped in and blew his whistle and said, that's the end of the game. No more. Just no more slaughter here. Lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. No matter how bad it's going to get, our redemption is coming, and the redemption is found in the return of Jesus Christ. Our redemption is not found in the right politics. It's not found in the right economic system. It's not found in the right political leader. It's not found in whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. And certainly I'm a conservative. But those are minor things. Our redemption is not found in any of that. Our redemption is when things get really bad. And I believe they will for Christians. The generation that's going to see these things unfold, there will be severe persecution. Luke says, lift up your heads. You don't have to cower down. You don't have to be afraid. Certainly be concerned. But Jesus is coming again. So we're to respond. Not become a recluse. Not a hermit. Not to run. Not to neglect our responsibility of fulfilling the Great Commission with missions and evangelism and making disciples. We're not to hibernate and hide ourselves into a place where we just stockpile all kinds of canned goods and stuff and let the world go to hell in a handbasket, if you please. I let God take care of them and I'm going to just take care of me and myself and my family. That's not what this passage is saying. Stand up. Lift up your heads. Are you ready? Man, if I went back to when I was 10 or 12 years of age, and the guy preaching this sermon like I am this morning would have said, "Are you ready?" I would have said, "No." Well, God, in his faithfulness, he spared my life. And he spared my life till I turned 23, where I could not run anymore. And I was ready then. And so I stand before you today and I ask you that question. Are you ready? Christian, first, those of you that profess to know Jesus, are you ready for the return of Jesus? Are you saying, "Come, Lord Jesus"? We sang that beautiful song, "Even So, Come, Lord Jesus, Come Quickly." That's the prayer from the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. Are you ready? Have you stood up? Are you got you're looking for that redemption? And I'm not saying going out on some mountain and wrap some white robe around you as some crazy cult groups have done over the years. I'm not even suggesting that at all. But are you ready, listening, watching, attuned to what's happening in the world today? I heard that. I know what's coming. Jesus, you're coming. That's where my hope is. But maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never repented of your sin. Maybe you've never acknowledged that you're a sinner, that Jesus really died for you. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because I'm telling you, if you're alive at that time, if you're part of that generation and you're alive when Jesus returns, you will see him. And you're going, "Huh, I remember that sermon that Sunday morning in July, and I wasn't ready." And I'm not sharing that to try to manipulate you or to even scare you or to put any kind of guilt on you. I'm just laying it out factually. Are you ready? You can be. As a seeker, come to Jesus on his terms. As a Christian, maybe you've let life just drown out any hope. Maybe your life is just taken over and all kinds of stuff. Get ready. Okay? Now, let's stand up. And yes, the day will come when those in the wheelchairs will stand up too. Jason and our dear brother here, there'll be no more wheelchairs. They will stand up and they will walk. But I trust that you're ready. Man, I want to see you all in heaven. And it will be a glorious day. I will be excited to see you without having to even say it. Certainly, I want to see Jesus. But I also want to see you. And I half jokingly say, if you want to see me, I'll be on the front row. Well, there are no back rows in heaven. We're all on the front row. If you're not ready, get ready today. Because Jesus is waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, we do lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus, you are our hope, our Redeemer, our Savior. We rest in you no matter how bad the world gets. We know you're in charge. You're in control. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So as we leave today, let us be so keenly aware of the presence of your Holy Spirit that we would breathe in your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. In your name, Jesus, I ask this. Amen.